3-1 pitch, swing and a drive. Deep to right field, way up there, way out of here. Goodbye, baseball.
Eight strikeouts for the King tonight and make it 23 consecutive scoreless innings for Felix.
Strike three called on the outside corner, and there it is.
It's time for the Seattle Mariners Baseball Podcast.
Kyle Seager, that just happened. Thank you very much.
Now, here's your host, Gary Hill.
And welcome to the Seattle Mariners Baseball Podcast. Gary Hill here. Hope you had a good weekend. Glad to have you back here on a Monday. Well, it was a tough weekend for the Seattle Mariners. One, it looked like they were going to take two of three from the Angels. It was off to a good start on Friday. They took game one, but game two and three would not happen. A couple of tough losses in a row. We'll dive into that a little bit. We'll go over the weekend. It is Monday, so bullpen banter will perk you up a little bit. That always helps as Charlie Frobisch sits down with Mariners trainer Rick Griffin. That comes up in a few minutes. Also, the week that was on its way in a few minutes. Rick Waits is going to come by. Shannon Dreher, a chance to catch up with the Mariners pitching coach. I love hearing Rick Waits talk pitching, and he's had a lot of good stuff to talk about as of late. So he'll be by to talk pitching in a few minutes as well. We have a jam-packed show for you tomorrow as well already. Somebody asked me to work on pitch counts. So I've been working on a request along with a few others, several others, and it's been pretty interesting. So a little pitch count conversation coming your way. It may surprise you. I'll give you this. It may surprise you the largest pitch counts, largest pitch totals, I should say, in Mariners history. That's all I'll give you. But that will come up tomorrow. So look forward to that. Also, we'll give you a preview of the San Diego Padres, brief San Diego Padres series. It's a two-game set. Of course, today's an off day for the M, so we'll get a preview going tomorrow. But a pretty interesting weekend in a lot of ways. On Friday, it was a great ball game on Friday against the Angels. And it was really centered around Taijuan Walker, who was just fabulous once again.
Tying run 90 feet from home. The pitch, Freeze swings and misses. He tries to chop down a tree 97 miles an hour, and he was swinging visor high. Taijuan blows it past him. Some high octane for a big time out number two.
And for Walker, this past month, he's been pitching at an elite level. You look at it the past month, he's among the leaders in just about every category in the American League. Top tens dotting all over the place. His last six starts, he's been nearly invincible. His spot in the rotation will come up Wednesday, so we'll talk more about exactly what he's doing, some of the numbers. It's pretty astounding when you look at it. But he was on his game on Friday, and then things got pretty interesting on Friday as Carson Smith came out of the pen to face the heart of the Angels order in the eighth inning, got out of the jam in the eighth inning. Fernando Rodney comes on Friday to close it down.
The 0-2 pitch, runner goes, swing and a miss, strike three, and this ball game is over, and Fernando Rodney shoots that arrow high in the sky in the Anaheim night. He hasn't done that in a while. Fernando Rodney picking up his 15th save of the year, handing Taijuan Walker his sixth win as the Mariners win it tonight.
Yeah, Walker, seven innings, seven hits, one run, no walks again. It's been a while. Again, we'll talk about that coming up. And six strikeouts, the bullpen locks it down, and the Mariners take game one of the series. Game two, more good starting pitching. It's funny, Walker gave up a home run in the first to Mike Trout, a solo blast, then just demolished the Angels the rest of the night. And then it was kind of a similar start in game two of the series. Jay Happ, single, home run, first two batters of the game, but then he got locked down, and he was great the rest of the way.
Side of the infield, back deep for Calhoun, the pitch. Big curveball, swinging it softly, popped up to the shortstop, Brad Miller. A couple of steps into shallow center field. He makes the catch. Calhoun pops to short, and the side retired in order by Jay Happ. And ever since Cole Calhoun's first inning home run, Jay Happ has gone 9-up, 9-down since.
He retired 17 of 18 at one point, just facing the minimums, inning in and inning out. And he got a little offensive punch behind him from Mike Zunino.
The 0-2 pitch, swing and a high drive, deep left center field. Trout going back to the warning track, to the wall, leaps up, goodbye baseball. Out to bedrock out there in left center field, Mike Zunino with his eighth home run of the season.
Holy smokes, he got it all, and it's now the Angels 4 and the Mariners 2.
Yeah, but too many opportunities go by the wayside. The Mariners lose 4-2, and a freak injury along the way. Just bizarre happenings in the seventh inning.
And it looks like Robinson Cano is getting a long look at by trainer Rob Nodine, and Lloyd McClendon is right there as well. Chris Woodward is watching this too. But this looks like it's something relatively serious for Cano. Cano sitting on the bench. Nodine has one hand on either side of Robbie's head and now back towards his neck. But Cano looks almost in a daze. According to the Fox broadcast, they are saying that Robbie was hit by a ball to the dugout during the Angels' infield warm-ups.
Now, that's not something you see every day. Cano just standing on the top rail, a throw. You know, Angels are warming up between innings. A throw hits him right in the head. Wasn't looking, talking to the guy next to him, gets whacked in the head, had a giant knot on his forehead. Fortunately, things are fine. He ended up playing on Sunday, but that could have been a lot worse. So just a bizarre day, a tough loss for the M's, which brought us to Sunday. And the Mariners, again, a chance to take a series. And boy, Felix Hernandez, well, he was rolling.
Here's the pitch. Swing and a miss, strike three. That is 8 strikeouts now for Felix Hernandez, and the Angels have 2 outs here in the bottom of the fifth inning. Already 8 Ks for the King.
8 strikeouts for Felix. A couple of notes of history on Felix. 110 games now of 8 or more strikeouts for Felix Hernandez in his career. He moves past Bob Feller for 20th most in history in that regard. Again, I like to throw out this reminder. He's 29, just past Bob Feller. And on the all-time strikeout list, he passes Hall of Famer Dazzy Vance, who pitched with the Brooklyn Dodgers for a number of years, for 67th on the all-time list. All of that happening yesterday. Felix was sensational. 6 innings, 1 hit, 3 walks, and 8 strikeouts. Things got a little uncomfortable towards the end of his start. Pitch count elevated through 96. And then Rob Nodine, Lloyd McClendon came out at one point. As it turned out, he had some cramping in his side. Extremely hot day. So he gives the Mariners 6, and it was good early. Nelson Cruz coming up big.
And the pitch on the way, swing and a line drive into right center field. Trout on the run, can't get there, it's off the wall. Here comes Goody rounding third, heading home. He'll score. Cano to second, he'll be stopped there. Cruz in at second with an RBI double to throw in, cut off by Giavotella. Nelson Cruz with an RBI double off the wall in right center. Mariners have a 1-0 lead.
And this is when the emotional roller coaster would really get rolling. The Angels put one on the board in the seventh, one on the board in the eighth. They're leading 2-1. Mariners staring at Houston Street, who's been locked down this season. He's only blown 2 saves, one of them to the Mariners. And here he is with 2 outs, Kyle Seager at the plate.
1-0 pitch. Swing and a well-hit ball deep to right field. Calhoun looking up. Goodbye, baseball. Holy smokes, Kyle Seager has tied this game at 2-2 here in the top of the ninth inning with his 12th home run of the season.
So there it is. The game's tied going to the 10th inning, and then bases loaded. Albert Pujols at the plate, and this is not the situation you want to be in when one run beats you. But somehow Tom Wilhelmsen gets the double play.
Nobody's in right field. They have Cano on the third base side of second. So Ackley is playing a traditional second base. Lomo at first. Everybody in tight at the grass. There's a picket fence of Mariners around the infield. Bases full. The pitch to Pujols. He swings and chops it to third. Right to Miller. He comes home with it for the force on Zunino. Down to first base in time to get Pujols. And he grounds into the double play. And the Mariners are an out away from sending this one to the 11th.
And things look good. An 0-2 count for Tom Wilhelmsen, trying and trying and trying to put him away. But as it turned out, he couldn't do it.
Wilhelmsen, the righty, pauses, turns, deals. And it's low. It's right between the wickets of Zunino. Here comes Calhoun. He stops on home plate. And the Angels walk off with the win.
Ah, painful, painful loss for the M's. They go down in the third game of the series, 3-2 to the Angels in 10 innings. and the look to regroup here on the off day. And they'll tangle with the Padres for two, Oakland for four over the weekend, the 4th of July weekend. So, well, the preview for those coming up tomorrow. The Mariners, they drop a series to the Angels. And now we go from heartbreak to something that will raise your spirits a little bit as we hand it off to Charlie Furbush. It's time for Bullpen Banter.
Hey, everybody, we're back again. Another edition and extended welcome here of Bullpen Banter. I'm Charlie Furbush. Another fabulous day here down in Southern California. And today my guest is our head athletic trainer, Rick Griffin. How are you doing on this lovely day?
I'm doing great, and what a pleasure to be on your show.
Well, it's always a pleasure having you on here. I know I've had you on in the past and may have blown your mind a few times. I'm not sure. It's good to have you back. Good to find out what it is you do. And then, you know, you're behind the scenes. You get to see all the good stuff. You know what I mean? So what made you want to get into athletic training? Did you play sports growing up? And then, you know, you figured might as well fix the body instead?
I played sports, football, basketball, ran track, and then realized I wasn't good enough to do anything for any length of time, and I like sports and medicine, and decided to go into sports medicine, so here I am.
Yeah, here you are. You played a little golf, though.
Oh, yeah, I played golf, but not for my high school team or anything, but I always loved to play golf.
Yep, that's good, that's good. No, that's cool, man. I mean, I guess we have a connection that I had no idea existed until I met you via South Portland, Maine, since I am the third Mariner from our high school that is on the team now, I guess. Former South Portland Red Riot, now turned Seattle Mariner, started with Jim Beattie, now Bill Swift and me. Who's the weirdest one of us three?
There's no doubt. I'm looking at him.
Great answer. Absolutely. No, I consider myself one of a kind, so I'm glad that you think I'm weird enough to even do this show. And who back in the day, you know, between Jim and Billy, who was a more high maintenance training room guy?
Of you three?
Well, besides me, I know I'm already the champ in that.
You're not a high maintenance. You just have a simple program and it works well for you and it's good. But Mr. Beattie was spent a lot of time in the training room with me. He had some shoulder issues. Billy Swift was not in there very much. He was pretty much stayed out of the training room. Always comes back to the same gentleman. Mr. Buhner is and will always be the all-time record holder. He has enough hours in the training room, he could become a certified trainer by the number of hours he just has in there.
That's amazing. There's a skeleton in the training room with about 100, 200 ailments, maybe?
89 ailments, and they're all his.
Some of them I don't even know they're real, but apparently these things actually happen. But what was the most gruesome thing you've seen on a baseball field when it comes to an injury that you've had to attend to?
Rick Riz may remember this injury. My first year in 1983 in a spring training game, we played a game in Sun City with the Milwaukee Brewers, and there was an outfield wall, which still to this day I don't understand why, but the outfield wall was made out of bricks. Donnell Nixon, one of our players playing center field, ran full speed into the wall. His shin bone hit a brick that was sticking out about 4 inches, and it shattered his tibia and his fibula, and it was a compound fracture. And it sounded like a rifle shot in the dugout. And I know, I remember Dave Niels telling me he heard it up in the press box. So that was pretty gruesome. And obviously, guys getting hit in the face. Had quite a few guys get hit in the face, pitchers. Alvin Davis broke his nose pretty bad in Yankee Stadium. So there's been a few things.
But you've always come to their rescue, you know. That's why they keep having you come back.
Yeah, yeah, that's the only reason.
Well, you're keeping me healthy. That's awesome. Since you've been able to travel, you know, with the team, do you have a favorite city that you like to visit?
I've always liked going to Boston because I love early American history and revolutionary things, and I've always liked Boston. Probably Boston and Chicago are my two favorite. We won't talk about the ones I don't like to go to, but I've always loved going to Boston and Chicago.
Yeah, I mean, I've already told all the fans which ones I don't like, so I'm sure we're on the same page there. So, what's a training room pet peeve of yours?
My biggest pet peeve is when guys bring their water bottles in and they take two or three swallows out of them and they leave and they're laying around. When Norm Charlton was here, he actually kept a book in the training room. When he was in there, if guys left stuff in the training room, whatever it was, he would write it down. And when we had Kangaroo Court, they got fined $20 every time, and we made a lot of money from people leaving stuff in there.
Yeah, I've been guilty of that. I'm glad that system isn't still going on because I might be broke. What is something that you do outside of the baseball world, you know, whether it's your hobbies? I know there's a special place in Montana you like to go to. Is there something other than, you know, than this what we do every day you like to indulge yourself into?
I like to, well, I do, one of my things, I guess it's a hobby more than anything, is I enjoy going to professional rodeos. I used to go to a lot more, but I provide medical coverage at a rodeo, which is over in Montana, and I've actually done that 35 years in a row. I guess I should probably think about stopping that one of these years, but that's something that I enjoy doing, and I like to fly fish, and I like spending time in Montana. And
You're going out with your friends, and we're going to a karaoke bar. What is your go-to karaoke song?
I would have a very difficult time with that. I actually got asked to leave my third grade class because I refused to sing. And because I only know country songs, I would probably have to go with a Garth Brooks song, probably See? Friends in Low Places.
Oh, man, that's...
Or maybe a Frank Sinatra song.
Ooh.
New York, New York.
Well, I mean, can you give me a little example of maybe one of them?
New York, New York.
New York. Frankie, baby, start do it to me. You start spreading the news. Yeah, we can keep
That's
going.
Because we hear that in New York every time when the game's over.
Awesome having you on the show. We'll have to go to a karaoke bar. I'll show you my skills one day. I'm pretty good behind the microphone. If you're down, I'm down.
Love to hear it.
Awesome. All right, that's another edition of the Wacky Weird Bullpen Banter in Southern California. We'll see you guys next week.
And now we're going to give it off to Shedda Dreher, a chance to catch up with Rick Waits. I love hearing Rick Waits talk about pitching, and he's got some good pitching to talk about. Here's Shannon.
Rick, I wanted to talk to you about something that we've been talking about quite a bit on the pre- and the post-game shows, and something that we've been seeing, I think, a little bit more from a couple of your pitchers. But both you and Lloyd McClendon say it's very important for a player to know who they are and who they know who they are as a pitcher, of course, would be what comes into your mind. And I think that two pitchers that are really kind of coming into that a little bit more for two different reasons are Taijuan Walker, because he's so young and seeing what he has, and Jay Happ, who pitched last night, who has stuff that's a little bit different. Can you talk a little bit about what that means to you to know who you are and how they come about that?
Well, I think it's really important, and it's very important for a young pitcher, obviously, as he's coming up through the minor leagues and he starts getting to where he's on that bubble, coming to the big leagues and eventually gets there. What kind of pitcher are you? Because you need to go out there, your personality, your character, your delivery, because you'll feel comfortable in your own skin doing that. And you'll have a better chance over 35 starts to be who you are and pitch well. And I think that's part of the maturation of Taijuan, knowing what kind of pitcher he is. He's a power pitcher. Now, he always knew that, but, you know, you try to work on your curveball and your slider and you change up and you have a tendency sometimes to nibble or try to be perfect with every pitch. I think he realizes now, I'm coming after you with my best stuff. I'm coming after you. I'm pitching off my fastball. And he's feeling really comfortable in that.
And you look at Happ last night, who had just, you know, two batters, and then after that it was dominant. He said after the game, you know, I've got to quit being frustrated. And you can't be upset about two pitches in a game, I would imagine.
No, and, you know, it really was almost like one pitch. He tried to come in on the leadoff hitter, it was a base hit to left. And then, of course, the one pitch was the home run. And yet he pitched great in the first inning, too, because he got the next three hitters out, was probably the three best hitters. And he's another guy that's just, he's understanding what kind of pitcher he is. He's a power pitcher also, and yet he's different because he has that smooth, fluid delivery that's silky almost, you know, and it doesn't look like a Scherzer or somebody who rears back and really is over-aggressive sometimes and gets the job done. He's more smooth, and yet he kind of bridges both finesse and power because he can spot it up to both sides too. But he needs to stay on the side of aggressiveness, coming right after you, and he's a fastball pitcher.
I saw something interesting a couple of nights ago. Carson Smith was on the hill. He came in to face two guys, Trout and Pujols, that he's had success against. Didn't quite have as much success, and all of a sudden he's in a little bit of a trouble. Mike Zunino runs out, and when he go out there, it's a longer discussion. And I talked to both of them about it. It was funny to hear the different answers from both of them, and they're both talking at the same time. Mike had something he wanted Carson to do. Carson had something that he wanted to do. How do you see that play out, and what do you want to see in that situation?
Well, in that situation, for me, it's Mike's responsibility to take charge. He knows the hitter. He's the guy that sees the whole field and every player. He catches these guys every day, and it's his job to communicate what he thinks and his opinion, maybe what you want to throw or where you want to throw it. But it's also the responsibility of the pitcher that when they have those conversations to be committed to whatever pitch he's going to throw. And if it's if they're indifferent in what pitch is or the location, the pitcher needs to go with what he'll be committed to. And I don't know exactly what happened in that conversation, but I do know we got out of that inning and we won the ball game.
Well, Carson said he had one thing in mind, and he said that Mike was able to slow him down. But Carson said, I have to get to the point where I agree with him and I can throw that pitch with conviction.
I think that's true. And you know, that catcher has a lot of knowledge, but he's not 100% right. But he's usually more right than the pitcher when he comes down to percentages.
All right, today out on the hill, we're going to see Felix again. This point of the season, what do you watch for from him?
Tempo. I mean, it's always tempo for him. He has a tendency to, you know, he's so competitive and he's so fired up to pitch and win. But, you know, in a lot of ways he pitches better when he's nice and smooth and relaxed and calm. And he knows it. He even reminds me of, hey, make sure you get me to do this. So stand smooth with his delivery, not jumping out of it, and having confidence in that type of delivery.
And finally, the way we end it on Mondays most of the time, a little week that was.
This is the Week That Was.
A look back on highlights and events of the Mariners' past week.
On Mariners Magazine.
The 2-0 swing and a well-hit ball deep to center field. That ball is getting smaller. Goodbye, baseball! Home run, Robbie Cano, his third of the year. The 1-2 pitch. Swung on, well-hit ball, and there's another one. Way out of here to right field. Goodbye, baseball! Way back into the lower deck and right, Logan Morrison with his ninth home run of the season. And the Mariners now lead Kansas City by a score of 7-0. The pitch on the way, Morales with a swing and a ground ball. Wide at first, up of the ball is Morrison down to second. One, the throw back to Montgomery, covering in time, double play.
Breaking ball, swung on and missed. Strikes out Gordon. That's strikeout number 9 and 17 consecutive hitters retired.
It was Montgomery. It was changeup, yeah. I mean, you're kind of, why are we swinging at so many pitches out of the zone? But, you know, it was a changeup that it looked like it was a fastball, and then the bottom fell out of it. And, I mean, it started coming in as a strike, and then, boom, it just faded away. It was good pitching.
And again, the 1-2. Swing and a miss, and he got him. Strike 3. Got him with a changeup. He has retired 22 of 23, one away for the Royals here in the top of the ninth, and that is strikeout number 10 for Mike Montgomery. Holy smokes, what a night from Monty.
A little more emotion going in than I normally do, but, you know, I know a lot of those guys and was with them for 5 years, so it's, you know, it's definitely a little extra added on to it.
Montgomery looks in, the sign, the set, and the 1-1 to Gordon, swinging a chopper along the first baseline. Montgomery gets there, underhand toss to Morrison, it's over. How sweet it is! Holy smokes, a complete game shutout for Mike Montgomery as he blanks the Kansas City Royals 7-0. The organization that drafted Montgomery back in 2008 in the first round.
Pitch, breaking ball, chopped off the plate. See if Goody can beat it out as it comes down. Duffy tried to shovel, got no play. Throws it wide of Hosmer. And Goody Harris beats it out for a base hit. Welcome back, Goody, with that base hit.
He is death to flying things. His name is Franklin Goody Harris.
It was pretty special when I got the call from Jack early today telling me that I'm going to be here today and I'm going to be in the lineup. So it was a huge accomplishment for me today because I know I've been really been working on really hard down there to trying to get back to the big leagues and today's the day.
Here's the pitch coming, swinging a line drive over the glove of Pujols, and it is a fair ball all the way to the corner of right field. Jackson puts on the after jets. He's into third. He makes a turn. He comes home. The cutoff throw to the plate. It's not in time. Jackson scores standing as Nelson Cruz is in at second, and he has given the Mariners a 2-1 lead at the top of the sixth. Sign run 90 feet from home. The pitch, Freeze swings and misses. He tries to chop down a tree 97 miles an hour, and he was swinging visor high. Taiwan blows it past him. Some high octane for a big timeout number 2.
The 0-1 on the way. Swing and a one-hopper to third. Up of the ball, Seager. Down to second to Cano for one. The relay to first. In time, double play.
around the horn, 5-4-3. They get Pujols at second, double up Giovotella over at first base, and Carson Smith gets out of a jam here in the bottom of the eighth inning. The 0-2 pitch, runner goes, swing and a miss, strike three. And this ball game is over, and Fernando Rodney shoots that arrow high in the sky. He hasn't done that in a while. Fernando Rodney picking up his 15th save of the year, handing Taijuan Walker his sixth win as the Mariners win it tonight.